Romans chapter 5, this is God's word that we read. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by His blood, much more shall we be saved by Him from the wrath of God. For if, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by His life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him, we have now received reconciliation. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. If because of one man's trespass death reigned through one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. Now the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God bless the reading of His word and our hearing this evening. We come this evening to a very important passage in God's Word, a very significant passage. And I feel, for a number of reasons, on this occasion, incapable of drawing out of it what I need to, and I may even preach on it next Lord's Day evening, primarily because of the events of this past week, and just how I physically feel this evening. But I want to draw out three points from this passage tonight, which are of immense importance to us all. The first is that we are all sinners and will die. We are all sinners and we will die. The second is that Jesus died that his people might live. Jesus died that his people might live. And in that, within the bounds of that point, the fact that Jesus in his dying, his people might live, purchased for us a far greater life than we would otherwise have had. He purchased for us a far greater life than we'd otherwise have had. Have you ever thought of why people die? Why do we die? You hear people say, well, you know, so-and-so died of long illness, long battling with cancer for many years. Or someone died as a result of an accident. Or someone dies of old age. Or someone dies because someone else takes their life. But those are not the reason why we die. Those are the causes of our death. People die through old age because their body is no longer able to sustain itself. People die through the cause of an illness. People die because of an accident. It's caused their death. It's not the reason for their death. It's the cause of their death. Why is it that we die? Have you ever thought of that? Have you ever thought of the reason why you will die? You would think with the advances that there are in technology today that this would be the one key area where resources would be placed in order to keep human beings alive. A lot of technology goes into trying to preserve bodies that have already been dead in the hope that sometime there'll be a scientific discovery which will mean that that person will be able to be defrozen and brought back to life. But why is it that one day our place on this earth will be no more? There'll be a day when the sun will rise, when Andrew Quigley will not be on this earth. I will not be here. I will not eat any food that day. I will not breathe any air that day. I will not put any clothes on that day. I will be gone. Physically, no more. And regardless of what I have done in my life, I dare say a month or two or a year or two after I've gone, there'll not be too many people talking about me. And that's the way of life. It's the way of life. Dead. No more. No more. Why? Why do we die? We weren't created to die, you know. Death was not on the agenda at the beginning, as far as God was concerned. Man was created to live. He was placed in the Garden of Eden, given the remit of multiplying and the mandate of ruling over the earth. He was God's regent on the earth. He was the one who was to rule over the earth and subdue it. So why is it that we die? Well, we read in Romans chapter 5 the reason why we die. God tells us why we die. God's very honest with us. He doesn't leave us in any doubt. He doesn't leave us scratching around, wondering why we die. He tells us, death spread to all men because all sinned. So, we die because we sin. We die because we sin. We die because we sin. But I'm not a sinner. Is that what you're thinking at this moment in time? I'm not a sinner. I have never done anything wrong. Well, then why are you going to die? Are you going to live forever and ever? But I'm not a sinner. So you're going to live forever and ever and ever. You're going to be the first person that has never ever died. Face the reality of the fact that you are a sinner. So you are. You're a sinner. But why am I a sinner? There may be someone in the building tonight saying, why am I a sinner? Well, God tells you in Romans chapter 5, verse 12. You really need to look at this because this is very important. Very important. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. Just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sinned. So there's one man who is responsible for bringing sin into the world, and as a consequence of his bringing sin into the world, death came through that sin, and as a result of his sin, we all sin, and because we all sin, we all die. Who was that man? That man was Adam. Adam. Genesis chapter 3. God tells us that he had commanded Adam. He actually says it in Genesis chapter 2. Commanded Adam very clearly that he was not to eat of the tree. Which tree? Anybody remember? Well, let's turn to Genesis chapter 2 and find out. It's a good thing if you're not sure to turn to the Bible, because in the Bible you'll get the answer. It's verse 16 of Genesis chapter 2. The Lord God commanded the man. Okay, so this is God speaking to man. Which man? Well, there was only one man alive at the time, so it's not too hard for us to work out who it is. It was Adam. And he said to him, you may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die. You shall surely die. So this is God telling the one man on the earth at this time, you eat of this tree, it's not you may die, it's not that you could die, it's you shall surely die. And as a consequence of chapter 3, we read that he eats of this tree. Verse 6, the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and the tree was wise, was to be desired to make one wise. She took of it and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. He ate. Because of his eating, he rebelled against God. Simply means he did what God told him specifically not to do. And because Adam took of that fruit and ate of that fruit in direct disobedience of God, then he died. God tells us that in Genesis chapter 3. If you read verse 19, look at it please. God speaks to Adam and he says, by the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Have you ever stood over a grave and heard those words? Dust you are, and to dust you shall return. What's God saying to Adam there? you're going to die. Why Adam? Why was Adam going to die? Because he had ate of the tree of the fruit of that which God had told him not to eat. This is not difficult to grasp. Okay, if you tonight are saying, I'm not a sinner, then listen to this, because it's very simple and it's as clear as I can make it. You are a sinner because of Adam's sin. Now we'll look at the fact you may think that's not fair in a minute. If you're going to say to me, I'm not a sinner, then you've got to tell me how you're never going to die. Alright? If in the dear moment, if in your heart at this very moment you're saying to yourself, I don't want to hear this, I'm not a sinner, then you say to yourself, you tell me, tell Andrew, you engage in a conversation with Andrew now, in your mind and in your heart, and you tell me how you're going to prevent yourself from dying. Alright? Because you are a sinner and you are going to die. Not because I say so, or I have had a hand on it. Because God says so, and because Adam had a hand in it. Genesis chapter 5. We read verse 1. This is the book of the generations of Adam. When God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. Male and female, he created them, and he blessed them and named them man, that they had created man. When Adam had lived 130 years, he fathered a son in his own likeness after his image, and he named him Seth. The days of Adam after he fathered Seth was 800 years, and he had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. He died. Why did he die? Because he was an old man? No. Because he had an illness? No. Because there was an accident and he died? No. He died because he sinned against God. Look down at verse 8, speaking about Seth. Thus all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. Why did Seth die? Seth died because he had an illness? We don't know. Did he have old age? We don't know. Was it an accident? We don't know. But the reason for his death was because of Adam's sin. What do we read about Enosh? Verse 11. Thus all the days of Enosh were 905 years, and he died. What about Kenan? Kenan, verse 14, was 910, and he died. What about Malaranah? What age was he? He was 895, and what happened to him? He died. What about Jared? He was 962, and he died. He died. Do you get the point? Man and woman die. We die. You will die. The reason why you will die is because you're a sinner. I'm not a sinner. He's still on that line. He's still saying that to me. I'm not a sinner. It's not fair. Why am I a sinner? I didn't do anything wrong. Well, the problem with that line of argument, my friend, is that it's not going to take you anywhere. Whether you want to admit it or whether you're saying that fact is true is neither here nor there. The reality is you're going to die, and you're going to die because you are a sinner. Whether you accept that fact before you die, or whether you accept that fact on the day of judgment, when God will reveal to you the fact that you were a sinner, is neither here nor there. You'll have to accept it one day. Hopefully, tonight, by God's grace, He will open your eyes to see and to hear. So sin came into the world through one man, Adam. And because of the sin of one man, death came, and through the sin of one man, death came to all men, because all sin, because we are descended from Adam. He is known as what was known as our federal, or our representative head. Our representative head. He represents us. If you're wondering why it is that I'm a sinner because of what Adam did, it's because when Adam took of that fruit on that day in the garden and disobeyed God and sinned against God, he was not only doing that on his behalf, he was doing that on behalf of all mankind. And as a human being, you're numbered among all mankind, and therefore what Adam did on that day affected you. Affected you. Affected you. Affected you. Affected us all. There's never been a person born He has not been affected by what Adam did on that day. Every human being has lived since that day. Every human being that will live to the day that Christ returns will be affected by that fact, because Adam was not acting on his own. He was acting as a representative of each one of us. It was as good as you doing it when Adam did it. It was as good as me doing it when Adam did it. What he did not do for himself. What he did for everybody and all mankind. That's the reason why that his sin brought forth his death, but also the reason why his sin brought forth our sin and our death. That's what it says. Sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin. And so death spread to all men because all sinned. How did we all sin? We all sinned because Adam sinned. It's a fact. It's a fact. You can't deny it. It cannot be explained away. But there may be someone who will say, hold on. Surely sin is rebellion against God. Sin is not doing what God wants us to do. Well, if that is the case, if sin is rebellion against God, then I don't know what God wants me to do. So therefore, if I don't do what God wants me to do, then I can't be sinning. In other words, if I don't know what the law is, if I break God's commands, and I don't know what those commands are, then how can I be a sinner? It's all right knowing I've done wrong, if someone tells me I've done wrong, but if I don't know that I've done wrong, then how can I be called a sinner? So Paul deals with that one in verses 13 and 14. He says, sin was in the world before the law was given. But sin is not counted where there is no law. Okay. So, the men and women who lived before Moses did not break the law of God. Why did they not break the law of God? Because the law hadn't been given until Moses lived. The law had not been given until Moses received it. The Ten Commandments and all the laws that followed. So all the people that lived from Adam to Moses were not guilty of breaking God's law, because God's law had not been given. That's why he says, sin is not counted where there is no law. So there was no sin in terms of breaking God's law between Adam and Moses. What did I say? There was no sin in terms of breaking God's law. Does that mean that there was no sin? What does he say in verse 14? Yet death reigns from Adam to Moses. Why did death reign between Adam and Moses? If there was no breaking of God's law, and therefore no sin coming from the law, the breaking of God's law. There was death between Adam and Moses, because although there was no sin in the breaking of God's law, yet there was sin as a result of the sin of Adam. Adam broke the law of God. As it says in verse 14, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam. So there were those who lived between Adam and Moses who did not break a command of God. They did not break a command of God. They did not break a specific command of God given to Adam. Only he broke that. And nor did they break the general commands of God given in the Ten Commandments. They didn't break the one that Adam broke, nor did they break the ones that have been broken since. But yet, all those people in between still died. Why did they die? They died because the breaking of the one commandment that Adam broke Cover them. Cover them. So even those people who didn't break the command of God, who lived between Adam and lived between Moses, even those who didn't break the general or specific commands of God given to Moses, they still died. Why? Because Adam was their representative and his sin affected them. So if you say to me, I have never broken a command of God, although you have, because the word of God has now been revealed and you can't understand that law. But if you want to follow that down line with me, if you want to argue with me tonight in your mind, well, I'm not guilty because I have never broken anything that God wants me to do. All I can say to you is, well, that doesn't matter. That's irrelevant. Because there were people who lived between Adam and Moses who didn't break the command of God because they didn't have the command of God, and yet they died because they were sinners. Because what? They were under the representative head of Adam. So no matter what way you look at this tonight, you're under that representative headship. And what does that mean for you? Verse 16. It means condemnation. One man's trespass results in condemnation for all. You stand condemned tonight before God. You're a sinner. You're a sinner because of what your representative Adam did. And as such, because of his one single solitary trespass, all of us stand condemned. What does that mean in simple, bog standard terms? That means that there is no need for you to wait until the day of judgment to find out whether or not God is going to let you into heaven. You don't need to wait. God tells you tonight that you stand condemned already. Imagine this here is a box. And I'm standing in a box being judged by the Creator of heaven and earth for my life on earth. I can tell you the verdict that was upon my life. I don't need to wait until I get to heaven to find out what that verdict was, because God says it here. He said, Andrew Quigley, you were condemned. And I say to you all tonight, every one of us stands in that same box tonight. And God says to us, you are condemned. It's not maybe you're condemned, it's not possibly you're condemned, it's not we'll see when we add it all up in the end, it's not a matter of adding up the pluses and taking away the minuses and seeing the good things you've done, the bad things you've done, the things you've said that were right, the things you said that were wrong. The fact is that tonight you stand before God as a human being, still alive tonight by God's grace, and you are condemned. You are going to a lost eternity. You have no hope. You have no God. You are a sinner who is lost for all eternity. Do you want me to say it one more time? You are a sinner who is lost for all eternity. I hope by God's Spirit, He will open your ears to hear, He will open your eyes to see these words, and you still don't have that wee idea around in my head. Well, I'll just wait and see. I'll just wait and see. Wait and see then. You wait and see. But you remember this night when you're standing before God, when it was clearly told to you, you're condemned. May God have these words ringing in your ears. I remember that night where I heard that I was condemned. Sitting in that church in Airdrie, I heard it. I heard those words. But I said I would wait and see. You remember those words. I hope by God's grace you will never remember them. Because I hope by God's grace that you will experience what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. Let's look then at what God has done for us in Christ. What God has done for us in Christ is of far greater magnitude than what Adam destroyed for us through his sin. All men died because of the trespass of one man's sin. All men stand condemned because of the trespass of one man's sin. All men, verse 17, will die because of the trespass of one man's sin. But by God's amazing grace, what he has done for Jesus Christ, what he has done in Jesus Christ, exceeds exceedingly what Adam destroyed in the Garden of Eden. Because what we have in Jesus Christ, and note that it is a free gift, verse 15, this is a free gift. A free gift, verse 15, through the Lord Jesus Christ. Through the free gift of the offering up of Jesus himself, there is justification. Verse 16. We, you and I tonight, can be declared right in the sight of Almighty God, because of what Jesus Christ did at Calvary 2,000 years ago. We who are sinners, we who are condemned, we who will die, we who, many of us, all of us, were due to go to a lost eternity, but because of the free gift of the death, the one single solitary death of the Lord Jesus Christ, then there will be many, many, many who will be justified. The free gift of righteousness, he says in verse 17, will reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. By the act of the one man's obedience, verse 19, the many will be made righteous. Jesus Christ, at his death on Calvary's cross 2,000 years ago, did something that has been unspeakably rich in all the manifestations of all the glory that God has throughout all the history of the world ever since. For if the one sin of Adam destroyed us all to a lost eternity, then the one act of obedience of Jesus at Calvary was sufficient to gather up all those who died in Christ, to bring them into a saving relationship with himself. And I say to you tonight, if you're a sinner, that this free gift is there for the receiving. If you will listen, and if by God's Spirit he enables you to hear, and you will say, yes, I am a sinner. I am a sinner because Adam is my representative. I am a sinner because of the life that I have lived. I stand condemned before God. And I will be condemned to a lost eternity. If God in his mercy was gracious to you tonight and you would accept that fact, then I say to you, turn and receive the free gift. The free gift through the act of Jesus at the cross at Calvary, when he justified He justified those whom He loved. They were declared right in the same court, in the same court in heaven, in the same box. We stand guilty. And Jesus stands before the Father and He says, Father, that person is justified. They are declared right in My sight. Yes, they are a sinner because of Adam's sin. Yes, they are condemned to a lost eternity. But because of My sacrifice at Calvary, You poured the wrath that was due to them for all eternity onto Me on that day. I carried the punishment that was due to them. And because I carried the wrath that was due to them, You now have declared them right in Your sight. And you can receive the righteousness that you need to be in heaven. And God will give it to you. You don't have to do anything other than confess that you're a sinner and believe that what Jesus Christ did at Calvary 2,000 years ago was all for the benefit of His people. To do what you could not do, to do what I could not do. Through one act of righteousness, there is justification and life for all who will believe. Leading to what? Verse 21. Leading to eternal life. Leading to eternal life. Jesus Christ died that His people would live. Jesus Christ died to justify and to have His people declared right in the sight of the Father. Jesus Christ lived, and through His one act of obedience at the cross, He gained the righteousness that was due to His people, that they might have what was necessary so that they could enter into the eternal presence of the Holy God. And the life we have in Christ today, and the life we will have in Christ for all eternity, is a life of far greater worth than the life that Adam stole from us. Because it is a life that has been purchased by the obedience of the Son of the Living God. And every aspect of that life is richer by far. He says in verse 15, the free gift is not like the trespass. It's not simply that Adam sinned, and Adam plunged it into death, and Adam plunged it into condemnation, and Jesus lived and brought us life, and we will live justified by God. It's not that what Adam did is equaled out by Jesus. Adam and Jesus are not equals. Adam and Jesus are not the same. What Adam did in plunging us into death, what Adam did in plunging us into sin, what Adam did in plunging us into condemnation was a terrible event in the history of the world and for all mankind. But what Jesus accomplished at the cross was far greater, far, far greater. This wasn't an equaling out of the situation. It was something of far greater significance. It's not just like a trade. Wasn't it Jesus was treated off against Adam? The death that Jesus died at the Calvary in redeeming us and buying us back buys us into a relationship with God that is much sweeter, much realer. It is based on a much more firm foundation because it's founded on the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. When I came tonight, most of you are standing outside. Standing outside. Standing outside the presence of God in His worship. In the dark, far but the streetlights.
in the cold.
You don't want to spend eternity standing outside of the kingdom of heaven. For there'll be not even a street light shining. It'll not be cold. It will be horrible. And you will be there. You will be there. Because you are a sinner. And you are going to die. But if you will confess your sin and receive this free gift by faith, you can be in here. In here. Jesus Christ can bring you into his kingdom. He can open the door and bring you in. He will bring you in if you will confess your sin and believe on his finished work that has justified you and made you righteous in the sight of God. And you can have eternal life. Eternal life. Your death will not be the end. Do you know what? I'm not going to care one iota what they say about me on the day I die. Whether good, bad, or indifferent, because I'm going to be in the presence of the Lord. And it's not going to give me one second of sleeplessness. Not one second am I going to be bothered about what anybody will say of me. Because I'm going to be there. Because I've admitted my sin. I have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I stand before you tonight as one who has been justified and who has the righteousness of Jesus imputed to him. And what have I done? I believed and I trust. I believe and I trust. Now what about you? Are you going to be outside or are you going to be in? The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.